New year, I look forward to working with all of you this year again. And like always, my first, what we'll first do is answer any questions that you may have. So what questions do you have for me? No questions?
No.
Okay, so then I guess we can go straight into the coaching sessions. Who would like to do the coaching today?
Hello.
Oh, hi, Kristen.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And thanks for the message. I did something or did not do something. But now I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, very good, very good. So do you have any questions?
Not so far, because I'm just rushed home from work, so I'm kind of still a little bit full in my mind. So.
Okay. Very good. So who would like to do the coaching today? No one?
I can do coaching.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
And Kristen or Pascal, do you have a coaching topic that you'd like to be coached on?
I have
topics. Okay. Okay, so what were you saying, Pascal?
I said, yes, I have a topic.
Okay. So since you were the fastest, let's go with you. And then next time, Kristen, we can go with you.
That's okay.
Kristen, any skills that you would like to benchmark?
I need to find the benchmark form and see if I can put myself together and be ready to benchmark. So
do you want me to send it to you?
I have it, so I can go. I have it. I just need to print it out. So I could try to benchmark I would benchmark questions.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. So then Birgitta, I put the timer for 25 minutes. I'm going to mute myself. Kristen, if you could mute yourself as well.
Yes, and I will start benchmarking when...
Sounds good. And if I need to interrupt, Birgitta, I will do so, and you can always ask me any questions.
Okay, that's fine.
Perfect. Time is yours.
Thank you. Hi, Pascal.
Hi.
Hi. Are you there for me? Yes. So you and I are going to have 25 minutes coaching session. And the frames I would like to set in the beginning is that...
Do you hear me, guys?
Yeah, I can hear you very pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. Pascal, the only frames I would like to set in the beginning is we have we speak different languages natively and different dialects of English. So please ask, if you don't understand what I say, please ask again. And also let me interrupt you and ask again if I don't understand what you say.
Okay.
Is that okay? So I think that's... Otherwise, I believe we know the friends, I hope. So, what would be the most valuable thing that you could get out of this 25 minutes?
I would like to have a way of deciding on modeling projects that are ones that matter to me or to other people to great in a great deal. So I'm looking for a way of thinking about which modeling projects.
Is that Lila?
I hear something. It's not from my end.
No, I suppose, is it?
It's not from my end either.
It's not, okay. So good.
Let me just ask Kristen. Kristen. Oh, so hopefully. Hello, Kristen. Let me just Is Great. It okay now?
Well, she's no longer online.
No, I removed her. Because she wasn't on. She just sent me a message that she wasn't on the call. So by removing her, I'm hoping that she can join us again.
That's a good idea. I'm sorry, it's clear now.
Yes, that was interesting. So I'll we can go back to the call.
So it was not Lila?
No, it wasn't Lila.
Okay, Pascal.
All right.
So now, as far as I heard, Pascal, you said that you would like to have a way of deciding on what was it you were going to decide on.
I like to do modeling, not necessarily of clothes, but of different kinds of projects. And
you want to do modeling?
Yes, I model different things, like mathematical things, or people's expertise, or just about anything. And
okay, you're modeling. Okay.
What I would like. What I would like. To be able to decide on modeling projects that I think are impactful, not just me, because if left on my own, I'll just find a person and model something and go on to the next thing and model something. But I saw this book once. The title was Models That Matter. It was about modeling in the healthcare industry, and I wanted to be able to choose those models which I think had more significance than just for me.
Okay. So you will choose the models that have significance not only for me and that matters for other people as well.
Yes.
And you will have a way of deciding how to choose that model.
Well, that's what I'd like.
That's what you would like in 25 minutes.
Way of deciding. I read this article on serendipity. Serendipity is, you know, when people do things. Things happen, they investigate things and things pop up, and then the process may not be necessarily defined logistical process. It may be just exploring different things. I'm sure that doesn't sound but it may be I did a process like that when I was in graduate school and looked for a topic. I just looked through papers until I found something, and then I started working on it. So, but I haven't done that as much recently, and I'm wondering how to make that more focused, so that I could pick projects and then Sugam.
Okay, so you wonder how to be more focused when you take a project and pursue it. So can you explore a little bit more about this? First, why is it important for you to do this modeling?
Well, that's who I am. I'm a person who models.
That's you are a person who models.
If I were to give you my professional title, it would be a modeler.
Okay.
So, I'm going to interrupt you right here.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the what of this conversation?
Yeah, I have not found that yet. So I was going to find what he means with modeling.
Okay. So he
the what he did, it's not clear to me what this means by modeling.
Okay, so now you're grabbing hold of modeling, but what he wants to get out of the session is a way of deciding.
Yeah, yes.
So that's at a higher level.
Yeah, and that would be something that matters for him and also for other people.
Right, and so rather than going with modeling,
mm-hmm.
go with a way of deciding.
Okay.
Understanding, what do you mean with that? Because apparently he's not deciding right now, and he wants to find, or he doesn't have a way, and he wants to find a way.
Yeah.
So that's the present state, desired state, rather than modeling.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, yes.
Okay.
I was just confused about what kind of models he meant. Okay, I can investigate that later. Pascal.
Yes.
You told me that you wanted to have a way of deciding on which projects to choose when you are going to make models that is of significance for you and for others.
Yes.
So where are you now when it comes to making decisions on which projects to make?
I do it, how do I decide now?
Yeah.
I've been working one project that I'm finishing for 2 years, on and off with an old professor of mine. And the way I decided then was, we met at lunch 2 years ago and he had this problem and I said, I can help because it sounded interesting to me. And we went on and on over the years. And just now it got very exciting because I actually found it may be relevant. You know, it may actually be something that's important to people. So I've been focusing on it this last week. But how do I know? I can plan. I'd like to be able to have a way of, how do I know now? How would I know?
Yeah. So, what would be the criteria for you to know that you know what to decide, which project to decide on?
Well, one criteria is if it's either mathematical or something, or psychological with people, or some combination. Along those areas, whether it has to do with physics or neurosemantics, it needs to be in those areas. It could be combined. I did a project looking at psychological dynamics, simulating them using psychological concepts in simulation models last year. And so I want to think about, here's a possible project. How would it impact? I looked up some of the papers I did when I was a graduate student, like in the 1970s, and I wondered how many people actually read my paper. And so I looked at one of them and noticed how many read it, and then I said, I did this thing then that was real, that I thought was really important, but wasn't important, as important. So I'm wondering, what could I do now that will be looked at as important or interesting or significant?
Because now I think you're talking about important and or significant projects that you want to take on to Nobel, and you also asked, how can I know that it was important? Was it what you asked?
Yes. I can see now that I may not know ahead of time. All I may know is that it seems important at the moment. It seems like it'll impact people significantly, like to create a simulation model of a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
That's an example, but doesn't interest me.
Mm.
One that predicted certain things that that people might need to track them down or to understand their progress and how they think. That's something that I can see as an important one, but it's not something that I'd be interested in. I've retired from a company over 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, and I've been doing writing and doing these projects since. And so I have, you know, free time to select the topics and the projects I want and the people to work with. One possibility was, I know this professor of history who's using simulation models to understand history, communicating. And if that picks up, that might be a project that impacts, you know, people in the country on how they could learn history using simulation, computer simulation.
Yeah.
Analyze events. I'm wondering
interrupt for a moment.
Yeah.
If you listen to Pascal and what he's doing, what is the structure of what Pascal is doing right now?
Yeah, he's having a clarity discussion with himself.
Okay. He's
investigating different projects that he has done and seeing how did I think then that they were important,
okay,
or of some significance. That's what I understand. What he asked for, how can he decide that something will be important or of significance for people?
Okay. What state do you think he's in? Do you know?
He's in a state of confusion.
Okay. That might be something to check with him.
Yes.
Because I am. Okay, very good. And so you can use that state of confusion.
Yeah.
But Pascal's giving you a lot of content information.
Yeah.
So what I'd like you to do is to, like, give him back the structure. So what I notice is that you're asking yourself a lot of questions.
Yeah.
What are you doing right now?
Yeah.
What are you doing right now?
Mm. Yes. Okay. Pascal, when I hear you describe a project you have done and thoughts you have had, it's like you are asking yourself questions. So in what state are you in now?
I'm exploring.
You are exploring.
Explore. As we're talking about it, as we discuss it, I think about what I've always think through, you know, what I've done, what I want to do.
I don't hear. It's a lot of noise on the line.
Now we're clear?
Yeah, better, yes.
That's my internal way of exploring things.
When you explore things, you are asking yourself questions and going through projects you have been through or what you are thinking of now with this history professor.
I'm listening to what I'm saying and to what you're saying, and I'm trying to understand how I can better solve my problem.
You are trying to understand what?
How I can better solve my problem.
How you can better solve my problem, your problem. And if you state your problem one more time, very succinctly.
What I would like, my outcome is to have a way of deciding which projects to choose based on what I know now that I believe will have an impact beyond myself on people, on a group of people.
Okay. Your outcome is to have a way of making a decision on a project that you believe have impact for other people.
And that means committing my time to it and my effort and making it part of my schedule.
Okay, and make it a part of your schedule. But your problem is still how can you make that decision? Is that right?
Yes, and how I can make it? Well, that's what I'd like to know. How do I decide? And this just came to me this week. I'd really like to think about how I could work on projects that matter to people. Because I do things, I create things teach other people them or show people them or get interaction with people. It's my way of interacting with the world.
So say that you have found this method of deciding. What would you see and hear then?
Well, I would see myself working on a project, whether it was doing the research, working with people, gathering the necessary information, either producing a training or a book or article, and then actively pursuing it.
So when you know that you have found, like Melly made the decision, right decision, you would be working on the project. But how will you know that you have made the right decision, that this is a project that's matter for people?
I think how will I know? I have to think about what its possible effect would be. I have to think about what the topic is and whether there's something of significance to say about it affect people in a certain way. So that's my own judgment about how I would know that.
So it will be your own judgment that decides if this is a project that has impact on people, is it right?
Yes. That's an internal meta program. I'm working with both ends here. I would internally think that, but yet I am looking out to externally to people for the feedback. So it's about internal. I internally make decisions based on feedback.
I remember you talked about that once earlier, Pascal.
Oh, good.
No, when you talk about it, yes, you said that. And how is it so that you normally take the feedback from others to decide if this is like right or not?
I would take a certain percentage of feedback. I would listen to the feedback and decide on my own whether it was relevant. But I accept all feedback. I'll listen to the feedback and I'll try to accommodate it if it's something I've done, but don't count it. So anything I hear, I'll evaluate as part of my internal process of evaluating what I do.
Okay, there is some disturbance on the line here. I heard another voice back there.
Should I repeat that? I said I take into account all feedback that I hear and internally evaluate that with respect to how I feel about it So I bring together both the external feedback and my own internal criteria. Like someone wanted me to write, like the person I'm working with now is more of a physicist, he was my former professor, and he might want it to read a certain way, and I'll think, well, and he'll comment on it, and I'll try to convince him that it's important to explain things a little more. So I'll do that, and then talk about it. I mean, so I listen to feedback, and I try to incorporate it. But feedback is important in me continually monitoring the feedback, like you do in coaching, to see what the response is and to adjust based on what you've communicated, based on what you communicated. So
is it so that you know that you have chosen, that you have made the right decision, when both your own judgment says that it's something that's important for people, and you also get that feedback.
And also, I'm thinking that, I retired, and I'm, almost to my seventh decade, and I'm thinking, I'd like to do something really interesting these next 10, 20 years. So that's in the back of my mind, too. So it's because I'm writing a book, and it's writing about all the different, it's more like a memoir essay thing. How to, and it's about all the modeling experiences I've had and what I've done. So that's in my mind is bringing up these things. I've done this, I did this. What impact did that have? Or
I'm just going to interrupt for a moment.
Yeah, that's fine.
So we've got 4 minutes left, and I'm just going a little less than 4 minutes. I'm just going to stop it for a moment.
Oh, that's fine.
where are you at right now?
Yeah, I'm nowhere. I'm a little bit. No, he went over to another theme about this book that he's writing. That was the theme of the last coaching conversation. So it's still about. So we are still. He knows a little bit about how he can know that he has made the right decision, because he wants his own judgment, and he also wants feedback from others. And that's the only thing I know so far.
Okay.
So, and probably, so
what I notice is that Pascal is giving you a lot of content, and then he's giving you content. And I'm I'm really curious. Like, so one thing is, like, what stops you from interrupting him more often? And that even though we know the frames, it's always valuable to say that at the beginning. Remember, I told you I was going to interrupt you because I don't need a lot of content. Because otherwise, you start having a conversation, and Pascal might have decided, oh, I'm going to explore. But how are you going to know that that's what he needs? So I'm curious is, what does he believe about deciding right now? What state is he in with regards to the decision that he needs to make? Does he know how to make a decision?
Yeah.
Has he made a decision before? And if he has, how is it different in this situation? So that you start to kind of get an idea of, like, what is, because obviously there's something around making this decision. And so I'm still not sure what specifically deciding is, and also the way. What does he mean with that? So you take it from content to structure.
I ask him about decision. Okay, Pascal. You are exploring to me a lot of things that you have thought, but what about decisions? What do you believe about making a decision?
What do I believe about them? Most of the time, I I believe it's important to do research to understand,
okay,
to understand what my options are.
And if I may interrupt, because when you do the research, you make like the exploration before you make the decision.
Yes.
So to be able to make a decision, you have to explore and make research. But what do you believe about the making of the decision?
What do I believe about it? I believe that after I've made it, I can judge how I feel about it. And I may retract it, but I can say, oh, that was good. Like right away, I can say, yeah, it feels good. Sometimes I make it quickly. And something happens, some event happens, I look and I say, ah, that's it. You know, sometimes it's like serendipity, it comes quickly. And because it seems in line with what I want to do, something happens, some event happens, like taking the coaching training of a year and a half ago, I saw the minute after I saw the note, I jumped in and said, I want to go and do this.
Okay.
So it could be instantaneous, but after I did it, I felt fine about it, and I could, I went on with it. I once asked someone to marry me, and I decided later that wasn't a good idea, so I backed out.
So if I try to summarize what I heard from you now is that sometimes you make research before you make a decision. Sometimes you make a decision very quickly and you feel like this is right. And afterwards you're like going back and thinking about was this the right decision anyway?
Yeah, so that means that sometimes I need the time before a decision to decide, and other times I'll make it and then I'll decide, I'll do the exploring afterwards. But
what's the difference?
The difference must be that the criteria, the thing that comes to my mind that comes up, and an opportunity comes up, is so powerful that it doesn't require initial exploring.
But yet
I always want to think about, reevaluate, does this work? Does this feel good? You know, so I'm over there, because I'm very kinesthetic, so I'm thinking and feeling for a while afterward to see, does this make sense? So I'm, and then if that doesn't, so there is always that kinesthetic deciding, the see and feel deciding, or act and feel deciding, that going to reevaluate and think through the options, and this is the best one, even though most of the time, if I made it quickly, it's something I actually do.
When you make a quick decision and you feel like kinesthetically that this is right, then you do it.
Yes.
So is that the criteria for a good decision?
I think from our conversation, I think that that I need to explore different things, whether it's running through my house, talking to people, and just listen for opportunity.
Okay, because you may mention earlier that sometimes you like just see an opportunity that like strikes you and that you take and feel this is right. And now you say in this case you believe that you have to make some exploration and watch out for opportunities.
I will need to explore it before or afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, time is up.
Yeah. Okay, so what is your...
Yes.
Birgitta.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Now, I had difficulties because now it's kind of excuses, but I it was very difficult for me to hear what Pascal said, so I was like working very hard to really hear and understand what he was saying. And like translate it to what does this mean? So I was confused and by that. But it was difficult for me to like grasp what he was saying.
Okay. And so did
That was also why I was not interrupting, because I was like listening all the time to get some something to grasp.
Okay. And what did that have to do with how fast he spoke?
Yeah, I think it's how fast he spoke, yes. And also also he's not so clear. So he does not speak in the same clear way as you do for my ears.
Okay, so if that's the case, you mentioned in the beginning that that English is not your first language. So my suggestion, if that's to ask him to slow down, and also to you can ask him to articulate and let him know, I don't understand you so well.
Yeah.
And because I want to help you at the best of my abilities, could you slow down and articulate more?
Because that was why I was like, I was checking back to check my understanding.
Yes, and then what
happened? I could have told him that I don't understand you, I have to, yes.
Exactly, what happens is that you start to work really hard.
Yeah, I did. I worked really hard on the understanding and not on like the coaching.
Right. So that's, if you feel, like I always say, if you feel yourself getting tired from the coaching conversation, then you need to step back and check in, like, what is it that I'm working so hard at? And sometimes that's, you know, the language, other times it can be the fact that you ask a lot of questions, but you're not getting the answer to your questions. So there's several reasons that can happen, but checking in with yourself to see, like, okay, what state am I in? Will also help you to take a meta moment and say, okay, this is, I need to make some shifts. So that's, I think that's a good insight to take.
Yeah. And then I was like too polite then to say, yes, right. To tell him, articulate more and speak slower because I don't get it.
Right, in a way it's too polite, but in another way you're taking away the opportunity for Pascal to help you understand so that you can ask powerful questions.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, it's not so polite after
all. No. It was like I said it in like, you know, such mouth because yes. I know it was my. I'm sure it was a meta program telling you me to be polite.
Right, exactly. Well, that's a good insight, Birgitta.
Yes. So next time I coach Pascal, I will frame that when you are being coached by me, you have to speak slow and articulate very well.
Yeah.
I need to speak slower. In fact, my wife frequently tells me to speak slower when I talk to her.
That's a good coaching topic, Pascal.
because you know, one way also to take up another issue, because I remember from last ASMC when I was coaching Per. And Per has a very high volume on his voice. And when I got benchmarked, you know, and I did not have this high volume, and I was told to match his voice.
Yeah.
And in this, so that was kind of what I was thinking. Okay, I have to match Pascal.
Well, if yes and no, if your English is not that at the level where you can match,
no, when it's
then
not.
Trying to match is just going to interfere. You know, the matching is to build rapport and to get some to understand someone's state.
Mm.
If you notice, like, hey, I noticed that you're speaking really fast.
Mm.
What state are you in? So get that information.
Mm.
And then say, and then do something with that and ask to slow down. Because it's no point in you trying to speed up, trying to match, if you don't understand what he's saying.
No. And it might perhaps have been one idea to try to... Would it have been if I had spoken still slower and more, you know, with more articulation to lead him to do that? Would that have been a trick?
No, because then you're breaking rapport.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why we want to make it explicit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Okay. So I don't think it went very well, yes. But, and that was why I was so struggling to understand, yes.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. one thing that I think does make a difference is mm-hmm. If we take a big step back and we kind of put the benchmarking form aside.
Yeah, that's okay.
When your client says something, that very first sentence, that's a lot of the time where you have several choices of where am I going.
Yeah.
So if what I would like you to do is listen for the level. So if your client says, I want a way of deciding what modeling I'm going to do, I'm paraphrasing, but so then what is it that he wants? A way of deciding.
Yes. And
the content, the modeling is the content, and you can get more information about that, but the outcome or the what is the way of deciding.
Yes.
And that already implies something. Right now, he doesn't have a way of deciding. Mm. At least that's what he thinks. So then I want to know more about that way of deciding.
Mm.
And what I noticed that Pascal was doing is that he is going into the content and starts looking for a way to decide.
Yes.
Rather than getting the outcome first. And so then you don't, rather than, if you follow him in that, it becomes an exploration conversation, but that might not be what he needs.
No.
So stick with the way of deciding and keep that as a frame. Also say that that's also a powerful frame to set at the beginning.
Mm.
So first we're going to set the outcome, and that means that I'm going to ask you a lot of questions to figure out what it is that you specifically need.
Mm.
And that's what, you know, because if we have that, that's going to make the biggest difference.
Mm.
So that you can hold that frame for your client. Mm. So, and then you can ask, are you trying to solve it right now? Is this one way in which you're solving it? Is that working this way? So that you can get him back to the higher level.
Yeah. Because at the end we were, so he explained how he could know, so how he has made decisions earlier. He told about that it was also a kinesthetic feeling that he had in his body. So.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking, so if you have a way of deciding, so you have these two ways of deciding, so then how, what is it that he needs to get out of this conversation with you? If he already has two ways of deciding, does he need a different way? Like, what is not working for him right now? Because if you stay at that level and start asking meta questions, so when I told you, okay, so ask some meta questions about deciding, you'd only ask one meta question that far. So the why question. And then you ask, what do you believe about deciding? Well, that in a way, it sounds grounded because it's in relation to deciding, but making it more grounded would be, what do you believe about making a decision about modeling?
Okay.
In this context, in this situation, what do you believe about making a decision or the way that you decide? So that you get information about what might be stopping him.
Yeah, that's complex.
What specifically is?
I'm just thinking. I don't know. What do you believe about making a decision on modeling? Yes. What would you have answered then, Pascal? What do you believe about making a decision on modeling?
What do I believe about it? I don't have anything that comes to mind to that question. I think it dictates, it tells how much time I'll spend on something. What it does is if I make a decision to do something, it's going to say that I have time to, that I will allocate time to do that. So it competes for the things I like to do in my life. So if I choose to do something over something else, that means I made a choice of this topic over that topic. So I can, by doing one thing, I can't do something else. So I believe that I have time, and that I want to make sure it's, lived well.
Can you say that one more time with much clearer, more articulated?
Ah, that's why I'm a mathematician. I like to, if I choose to do one thing, then that means I can't do something else.
Yes.
That means that if I choose to do one thing, that means I have to, that I have to, or I do spend time doing that. And I've said to myself, I will spend this next 3 weeks doing this particular thing, meaning that it'll be the primary thing I do, and other things will be secondary. So it's...
The last thing, what was your conclusion at the end? I did not hear that.
Once that this activity I choose, after I've made a decision, I select an activity which will be the primary focus of my life for a certain period of time. And that means other important things will be delegated being secondary or not as important. So
okay.
Making a decision brings stuff into the foreground for a while, and other stuff is relegated to the background.
Okay, so when the decision, so you say that the decision, when you make a decision, this comes in the foreground, and you have to put other things aside. And when you realize that,
but they're not as important.
Pardon?
They're not completely aside, but they're not as important. It's that my primary focus when I get up in the morning, when I rise from bed, is to work on this thing first, and then. Yeah. Deal with the rest of the life later.
So does this mean that, so do you have some, also, when you say that these things that you then have chosen to focus on must be so important and other things must be put aside?
Yes.
What consequences does that have for you?
It means that I make a choice.
You make a choice. And is that, is it so that this choice can never be altered, or also is it if you do it, you do it, and that's it.
Yeah. I don't know how to respond to that question. I'm working on a paper, and I get up in the morning and I think about it, and even though I have something to do, I do that first. And then before I go to sleep, I'm in bed thinking about it. And so I'm sleeping. In the middle of the night, I get up and think about it. So I'm very focused on my decisions, on what I work on.
This was just for me to test the question to see what happened when I asked it.
So Birgitta, what did you learn from this?
Yeah, because yes, that I could get some information by asking again. And also that it seems that Pascal has, like, it's so important. For me, it seems for him, I would have checked then with him. Is it so that it's so important for you then to make the right decision because you can't unmake it? Because he says when he has decided, he goes for it. It must be right.
He spends his time on it then. I didn't hear that he can unmake it.
Okay, but because that was
something to check.
Yeah, I would have checked on that.
But in any case, it seems like there's energy there, and it's semantically loaded. And so we go into the time matrix, and what I'm gathering, but that's something to explore. And obviously, like, I think this is something that comes back for Pascal, because we've had more conversations where time comes up and when I choose, then I can't do other things. If I choose, I can't do other things.
No.
So then you can go even higher. How does that relate to your ability or your way of deciding in this case? Because then you get to something real. Like, you get to, okay, this is what it's all about. This is what needs to be solved for Pascal to be able to decide on which topic. So just by asking one meta question that is grounded, you get to something semantically loaded.
Yeah.
I've had that yesterday. I was coaching one of my clients, and I didn't ask a whole lot of meta questions, but I asked the meta questions that mattered. And what I mean with that is, you could have asked, what do you believe about modeling?
Yeah.
It's not going to get you to what you really need to be talking about. So just this one meta question is more powerful than 10 meta questions about modeling.
Mm.
And then you can explore more and open up the conversation and ask, so now that you know this, what is it that you need to get out of this conversation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, yes.
Very good.
I'm wondering, because I think also when it is so, I mean, when it, this decision makes him make do only that and nothing else, like it sounds, it seems so, it's a very big decision then, in my mind.
So that's something that you can share. This is
yeah.
what it comes across to me. This is how that comes across to me. How does it come across? Like, how do you feel about it? Because
yeah.
that's ultimately what is most important.
Mm. Yeah.
So, any questions? Because I think this is the biggest learning for you.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And I recognize the. The pattern to ask about the first thing he's saying,
Yeah, that's going to make a huge difference. And then ask meta questions about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And grounded in the right way, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Grounded in the example that he had, and not in any other example or ungrounded, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Very good. So any questions? No questions, Pascal?
No.
What insights did you get?
I thought it was helpful to bring something that was floating my mind out and discussing it. And I thought of a way to actually decide how to go about deciding what to do. And with me, if I have a problem with it, I'll try to figure it out. I mean, I'll be almost get obsessed until I think I have a way of doing it. So to me, it was great just to be able to talk about it, and her questions helped to at least help me explore what I can do. I know that I was in content, but I can step up from that. About the belief, the important thing was about yes, my about the belief I have for some of these things.
Right.
That was important. You know, what do I believe about it? What are my meta programs like towards in a way? So I was listening to myself as I was talking to you. Intuition and internal thinking and I have a way of working it through.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So before we wrap up, anyone have any questions? Hasse, maybe, do you have a question?
Oh, I will.
Hello?
Hi, Hasse.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't have any questions. It was really hard to hear Pascal. So, I really wasn't quite getting to what it was about and where the questions were going. So, but next time, it'll be better.
Okay, very good. Was it, in what way was it hard to hear Pascal?
Well, I'm getting an echo and seems to be some disturbance on the line or something.
You might have your speaker on phone. That might be the problem on the connection.
Yeah, it might be because we get the echo.
Hmm.
You get an echo if you have two things to do at one time. If there's a mic on your phone and a mic on your headset, it might be an echo. Excuse me, a mic and a
I don't hear anything of what you're saying because it's like your echo is coming on top of what you're saying.
Can you hear Femke?
Yes.
but I have an echo.
Yes.
Do I have an echo now? Yeah, I do.
Yes.
I hear it. Do I have an echo now?
Yes.
Maybe, well, I don't know what to do. I just try two things. But I hear the echo from your phone.
Yeah, but one of the other people listening might have it on speaker, and then it gets picked up by their microphone.
Yes.
If they're not muted.
Birgitta, do you have headphones on?
Yeah, I have from a mobile telephone, you know, so so it might be not so good as with headphones.
I have headphones on.
Yeah, so that's the with being on the call, we always want to have headphones on because otherwise we get the feedback.
Ah.
But I only have the sound in my ears. I don't have the sound because I took off. I didn't hear anything then.
Right.
So I don't think it goes back from me.
Okay.
No, I'm not getting an echo from you.
Where are you calling from?
Where I'm calling from? Norway.
Norway. Okay. I'm in the U.S.
Because I hear an echo from Pascal as well.
You hear an echo from me?
Yeah.
Not right now.
No, not right. So you don't hear an echo from me. I have a joke about echo.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the problem is there. Pascal, you've got your headphones on?
Yeah, my headphones on and my speakers off.
Huh.
It's locked. All you really hear is my headphones and no computer speaker. And I have no other speaker.
Okay. So I'm going to talk to the join me, the tech people, and see what the problem can be.
Hmm.
Well, I'm getting an echo from you as well, but since you speak slower, it comes behind you.
Right, it's weird. Okay, so I'm going to look into that and see how we can solve this.
Mm.
So, all right, well, I'm going to put the recording online. If I can't solve this problem, we might have to go to another conference system.
Were you able to put the other recording online? I haven't seen I looked last week, I guess, for the other recording. Oh.
Is it still not fixed?
I can check again, but again, I can check right now.
I uploaded it again, and
I'm going into it right now. I'm coming into it. It wasn't a couple of days ago. AMC Revisited. December 15th. Sorry, the page or from access doesn't exist.
Because I uploaded it again, and I'll take a look at it, but it's weird what's happening there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll take a look at that as well and upload this recording. And if I have it fixed, we'll use this system next time, and otherwise we're going to use another system.
Okay.
I think with the last system you had, Femke, GoToMeeting, I think it worked well.
It did.
Yeah, that worked well. The addition here is that for me it was easier to use a whiteboard drawing, which I use for some of my trainings. But Yeah, the quality of the sound is not as great, apparently. So I'm going to research, and we might go back to GoToMeeting.
Yeah.
So.
Because I hear you, Femke, very well, but Pascal has an echo. That's the problem here.
Yeah.
That's one way it's hard to understand if I have an echo.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, I'm going to look into it. Meantime, if you have any questions in the next 2 weeks, just drop me an email, and we're going to meet again 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.